All right. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and take no notes while I'm preaching. I want you just to listen to me. If you want to know what I said and you sleep through the sermon, just get the tape. We need the money, and so please don't take notes. Also, I realize that ladies don't shout amen a lot, so I brought my tape player, and if you don't do enough, I think I've got it here, so it's all worked out.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody's got to agree with what I'm saying, and so I have this here, and I think we'll do all right. If you'll just look at me now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18, the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." I want to talk to you today about biblical dress, or how a lady should dress according to the Bible. I'm going to read to you from the book of Genesis, and again, I use the King James Bible. You won't have to worry about which book I'm reading from. I do want you to listen. You don't have to turn to it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat." I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice that Satan comes to Eve, and he tempts her with a thing called wisdom. He said, "Now, Eve, if you will take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be open, and you'll get wisdom." A verse later or so, you see that Eve said this. She said, "That is pleasant to the eye," talking of the fruit of the tree. She said, "That would be good for food." Of course, woman that takes part of her day in preparing meals, obviously that would be something that she would notice. The third thing she mentioned, and of course it would make you wise, but I want you to notice something. The very first thing that Eve saw was that it was pretty. You see, Satan had not pointed out to her that it was pretty. Satan had not pointed out to her that it would be good for food. Satan said, "I think I can tempt you with wisdom. I just want you to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." She ends up taking of that forbidden fruit, but not for the reason that Satan wanted her to. She did it for her own reason. She said, "That's pretty." And it did not matter to Satan why she took it. As long as she did what she did, he was satisfied. So she took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because she wanted to. And it didn't matter why, she still fulfilled his purpose. You see, in your approach to your appearance, Satan doesn't care if you dress for him or you dress for you. Just don't dress for God. That's all. You see, she was helping Satan to fulfill his purpose, and she didn't even know it. Sometimes the preacher get up and he might be a little bit hard on you about your dress code, and he said, "You're wicked in your heart, and honestly, you don't think you're wicked in your heart. And maybe you're not intentionally helping Satan, but you don't see it the same way Satan sees it. He sees it from a different perspective." You say, "But that's pretty." The question is it right? That's what we must find out. I'm not a very complex person. You'll have to forgive me today for my simplicity. My first point is this. We must ask ourselves, is the Bible the Word of God? Let me ask you that question and you answer me. Is the Bible the Word of God? All right. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Let me ask you this question. Is God's word true? Romans 3:4 says, "Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar." If man and God disagree, who's the liar, man or God? Man. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." My question to you is this. Is God's word unsettled? No. No, it's not unsettled. Is God's word settled? Yes. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." So is God's word truth? Yes. John 13:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Is Jesus the truth? Yes. John chapter 10, verse number 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." So my question is Jesus and God one and the same? Yes. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, God says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Does God change? No. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Is God's word perfect? Yes. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned." Does God's word warn us? Yes. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Does God's word warn or keep us from sinning? Yes. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." Are our thoughts always like God's thoughts? No. Are our ways always like God's ways? No. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right." Our thoughts are not always right, and our ways are not always right, but are God's ways always right? Yes. Judges 17:6 says, "But every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Now, does that sound good or bad according to all the scripture I just gave you? Sounds bad, doesn't it? Proverbs 3:5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now, are we to depend on our own understanding? No. Are we to depend on the Lord? Yes. In how many of our ways are we to depend on the Lord? All. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It says in verse number 35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandment." In other words, God has a tool that he leads us. Now we're back to the fact that the Bible is God's word. And it's a book for us to live by. Now, you may have a problem with a couple of things that I say today. Now, if I say something that comes directly from the Bible and you disagree, you're a liar. If I teach you something from the Bible and you reject it, and I taught it from the Bible. Now, there'll be some things I'll say today that are going to be my opinion. But I'm going to say some things today that I'm going to teach you directly from the Bible. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to say some things about clothing today. Some of you are going to disagree. But your problem, if I say it from the Bible, your problem isn't with clothing. Your problem is with God. Your problem is with this book because you don't believe this book is the Word of God. I ask another question. Does God approve of nakedness? No. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." We'll have to understand something here today. Just like Satan tried to tempt Eve with a given area, and Eve didn't see it the same way Satan did, but she got the job done. Men and women don't always see this thing of dressing the same. You see, as I speak to you today, I may say some things that you've never heard a woman speak or say. Why? I'm a man, I'm totally different than you, and I see the way you dress from a different perspective. By the way, I see it from a different perspective than some people because I'm very happily married. I don't want any other woman in the whole wide world than my wife. I have the one I want. I need no more. She's very fulfilling to me. And so I'll make it real clear. I'll not hold back hoping that one of you could be a prospect for me someday. I'll tell you exactly how I think you ought to live. Exodus chapter 32, if we were to read verses 22, 23, 24, and 25, you would find that Moses had been out on Mount Sinai. He was there to receive some commandments from God. His assistant pastor, Aaron, was back home with the people. While Moses was gone, they liberalized. They dropped the dress code. They dropped the standards. And you find out that Moses is coming down from the mount. He can hear some music playing in the background. Not the regular music that God's people should be playing, no doubt about it, because they were dancing. And the Bible says that when Moses looked into that group of people, he said, "Listen to the noise." And they were naked. Now we hear that story and we say that's wicked and that's filthy and that's vile. And I do agree. I'll promise you that God disagreed with those people taking off their clothes. And I'll tell you something. You'll find out. Those of you that have the lowest standard in your dress have the lowest standard in your music too. You're the ones that will move your body in the wrong way. These people were dancing and listening to the wrong music, and they were naked. And the Bible says that Moses went to them in verse 26 of Exodus 32, and he said, "Stop the music. Who is on the Lord's side?" Why did he say that? Well, a bunch of them were undressed, and you're not on the Lord's side if you're undressed. You're not on the Lord's side. You see, as a result of that day, it says over 3,000 people were killed. And it was partially because of people taking off their clothes. In John chapter 21, verse number 7, you find Peter out fishing. Peter had disrobed and he was out there fishing on the boat. One of the other disciples were with him. All of a sudden there's a fellow on shore that seemed to be somewhat familiar. His name was Jesus. And I imagine as Jesus spoke, the men on the boat said, "Oh no, I've heard that preacher's voice before." And Peter said, "Good night. I didn't think the preacher was going to catch me dressed this way." But he did. And this preacher just happened to be the prince of preachers, Jesus Christ himself. And Peter said, "I better get dressed quick." Matter of fact, I think one of the reasons he jumped in the water is because he just had to do something. You say, "I wouldn't want the preacher to catch me in some of the things I wear." God's already caught you, and he's more important than the preacher. Does God approve of nakedness? In Luke chapter 8, verse number 27, there's a story of a man that we call the maniac of Gadara. He was a wild man. He ran in and out of the graveyard, and he would cut himself with stones. And he was wicked, and he was vile, and he was demonic. The Bible says that he ran naked in those tombs. But he met Jesus one day. And as a result of that, he got saved. And the Bible tells us in verse number 35 of Luke 8, the next thing you know, he is sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Now, the stories we see, the people dancing naked and God saying, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And we see Peter ashamed that he got caught by the preacher. And now we see the maniac of Gadara who, when he got his head screwed on straight, he put his clothes back on. What is this thing called nakedness? I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah. I do not want you to turn to it. I'm going to turn to it. In Isaiah chapter number 47, the Bible tells us something about this thing called nakedness. It says here, Isaiah 47, verse 1 through 3, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit along the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal, uncover thy loss. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers." And the next verse says, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." Now, we did a little Bible study earlier, and it was real easy because God made everything so clear. It was yes, no, right, wrong, good, bad. Did God say that uncovering the thigh was your nakedness? Yes or no? Now, some of you aren't going to answer me because you don't like that, but your problem isn't with the dress code. Your problem's with God. And it even goes on to say here that this uncovering of the thigh will cause you shame. In other words, it's shameful for a woman to show anybody but her husband her thigh. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42. I'll read another verse to you. The Bible tells us again of this term we call nakedness. It says here, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach." God said somebody was naked and we had to get them covered up, and so we're going to make sure that these men get breeches that come down to me. So you know, I don't think a woman ought to show her thighs, but the Bible teaches here neither should a man. You say, well, that sounds bad. I've never even heard of that. Well, you have never read your Bible then, because it's in there. So a man that will stand up and preach about a woman showing her thighs all the time but won't give equal time to a man showing his thighs is not right. He's not got balance in his preaching, because it's wrong for a man as well. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that according to the never-changing, always true, ever-settled, perfect Word of God, that you're not to uncover your thighs. Now, that eliminates shorts. That eliminates your bathing suits. That eliminates your mini skirts. And that eliminates your slits up your thigh. How in the world can I know what I ought to wear? Well, look at the Bible. And let the Bible be your guide. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20, we read it earlier. The Bible says you are bought with a price. And ladies, if you're bought with a price, your body doesn't belong to you. You're already purchased. And something that's already purchased can't be sold. And some of you need to take the for sale sign down and cover up God's thighs. And so the question is, does God approve of nakedness? Evidently not. I'm not as mean as what you think. It's the eyebrows. My wife already told you. Let's ask another simple question. Should a woman wear pants? Let's see here. Go in the textbook. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, the Bible says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Let's start out with this. It is very evident that the man and the woman should not dress alike. Is that true? That's true. Now in Job 38, verse number 3, the Lord is speaking, and he says to Job, "Gird up now thy loins like a man." Now here, whatever this man is being told to do by God, it's like a man. In Job chapter 40, verse number 6, the Lord says, "Gird up thy loins like a man." In the Bible, it does not use the word breeches spelled the way we spell it. It uses the word breeches, but it's the very same thing. I looked it up. The word breeches or breeches is only mentioned 5 times in the Bible. Now, God only has to mention something one time for it to be the Word of God. Is that true or false? True. 5 times the word breeches is used in the Bible. Every one of those 5 times it is used pertaining to a man. You say, well, that doesn't clear it up. I'll tell you something, sugar pie. God's going to clear it up real clear to you when you get to heaven, because you're just looking for an easy way out. You see, if it's something you wanted, you'd accept that as fact. But if it's not something you want, you'll do everything you can to push yourself through the cracks and make sure it turns out okay for you. The only mention in the Bible of this thing called breeches is used in reference to a man. In Bible days, of course, a man wore a robe, a long flowing coat type of a garment. He had a big belt that he would wear while he wore that robe, and he also wore these things called breeches. which came down to the knee, because God told him to wear breeches to the knee. Why? Because it's immodest for a man to show his thigh, just like it's immodest for a woman to show her thigh. And the Bible says a man should gird up his loins. Man would need to run or go to work. He would grab the bottom of that flowing robe and pull it up and tuck it inside that belt so he could move quickly. Sometimes if he was going to run, he might even pull it in between his legs and bring it up and tuck it into his belt so he could run. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell a woman to gird up her loins. Why? Because if a woman took that material and pulled it up and tucked it in her belt, she would end up showing her thigh. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that a woman's supposed to wear breeches to the thigh to cover her nakedness, which means she needs to leave that material hanging down below the knee so nobody can see her thigh. And you cannot disprove that with the Word of God. I've read this book from cover to cover. I've probably put 60 hours into what I'm going to say to you in this 30 minutes. You cannot disprove it. It's in the book. The breeches were intended for the man so he could gird up his loins so his thighs would not show. God was so concerned that a man be modest, he put pants on him. He said, I don't have to worry about a woman. She's not going to pull up her dress. And somehow you need to let your dress down. You're supposed to walk around with your dress in your hands showing every... And you say, well, I don't walk around with my dress. That's because there's not enough material at the bottom of it. You say, but Brother Owens... You want to say that? Brother Owens. Okay, thank you. There are things that I do that if I didn't wear pants, I couldn't do them. Exactly. So, what do I do? Don't do them.
Oh, man.
You say, but I've got to make a choice here between the lesser of the two evils. You see, I can either be modest and wear the pants during this activity, or somebody's going to see my undergarments. So what do I do? Charles Spurgeon said, when facing a choice between two evils, do neither. Pretty good option. You say, okay, Brother Owens, I'll pray about it. You don't have to pray about it. Just do it. Which means this. There's some ladies in this room. You need to go home and you need to get rid of your breeches. Burn them. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, it says, for all that do so what? All that cross dress. There's some of you that dress like the transvestite. You see, for all that do so, every woman that wears a man's garment, and every man that wears a woman's garment, I'll tell you something, by the way. If I say something and I can notice that you're mad, I'll go back around the block and ring the bell again, sugar. I promise you. I used to go coon hunting. I'll treat you. I'll treat you. You're going down. I am very versatile. I could stick on this one point for the next 25 minutes with no problem. So if you don't like me, you better smile every once in a while and let me see those teeth. Just lie.
Amen.
The Bible says, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. The word abomination means hate intensely. He is disgusted. Matter of fact, I even seen it associated with the word throw up, regurgitate, toss the cookies. It makes God sick. Let me see if I can make it a little bit more clear to you. God said that when a woman cross-dresses, and that's exactly what it is, when a woman cross-dresses according to Leviticus 18:22, God said that it is an abomination, and an abomination in Leviticus 18:22 is compared to lesbianism, sleeping with another woman. Leviticus 19:23, God uses the word abomination associated with bestiality, that's sleeping with an animal. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God compares this thing called abomination. He says, it's like being a witch. That's what he says. It's an abomination to be a witch. kind of people that drink blood at communion time. That's how bad it is. So what's the big deal? I don't know. I don't know what the big deal is. You can take it up with God, because your problem is not with a dress code. Your problem's with God. You don't believe the Bible. You say, well, my Bible doesn't say that. Well, you got the wrong Bible then. Incest is an abomination. Idolatry is an abomination. A preacher friend of mine seen a fag who was cross-dressed. Man, he had him a dress on and had him a cigar in his mouth and his hairy legs. He didn't have any hose on. Had his hairy legs hanging out and smoking that cigar. My preacher friend went up to him and said, hey, son, boy, do you realize how stupid you look? Do you realize how vulgar you are? Do you realize how wicked that is? That old fag, he said, yeah, preacher, I know. He said, preacher, you're from that Baptist church, aren't you? Yeah, I'm from the Baptist church. He said, preacher, I may look bad in this dress, and it may be vulgar and sinful, and I'm probably going to die and go to hell someday, but do me a little favor. You go down there to that church of yours, and you tell those ladies in your church that I know, you tell them to take off my britches, and I'll take off their dress, and until then, keep your mouth shut. You say, well, I'm not convinced yet. Well, let's just say this. Is it a sin to wear modest-length dresses and skirts? No. Now, you just figure out what you're supposed to do from there. Let's see. I better review the main points. Number one, is the Bible God's Word? Yes. Number two, does God approve of nakedness? No. Number three, should a woman wear pants? Good, we're learning. Number four, should a lady be modest? Now, some of you that, you know, you Holy Joes, you say, I've heard all this before. Just hang on. We're getting to the new material. I'm coming your way. Don't worry, I won't leave you out. We're just having fun right now. I'm winning the hearts of the people before I begin to speak. Everybody knows that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'll read a verse to you here. You all know it better than I do. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with voided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. The word adorn there talks about us adorning, or you adorning yourself in modest apparel. The word adorn there comes from a word, cosmos, which is related to or referring to our God's order of our world or the worlds. That's where that comes from. Now, it's the very same word that's used for the word world in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So what I think God is telling us here, the word adorn and the word world are about the same, and God's going in the same direction when he says you're to adorn yourself in modest apparel, and he says love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. God is saying to you, your dress standard should not be one to satisfy this world. Don't love this world's standard, but love the next world's standard, which would be God's standard, which means this. Ladies, we're probably going to have a dress check in heaven. We're going to check your hemlines. We're going to check and see how plunging the neckline is. We're going to find out if you decided that there was a material shortage when you ordered that thing a size smaller than what it needed to be. And God's going to have a refuse pile. He's going to say, honey, put all that crummy junk right here. It's not going in. You know, some of you are going to be in real trouble because the Bible says there's this thing called the rapture. And I'm going to see just how you dress when we go up. I'm taking notes. I knew it was her. I knew she dressed that way at home. Look at that. She must really think she looks like something. Yeah. A dump truck parked in a VW parking lot. Adorn. adorn. I think you ought to dress it the same way now that you're going to dress in heaven. Now, those of you that go around doing this all the time, trying to pull it up, pull it down, pull it up, and pull it down, it all depends on who's around. I don't think you're going to be doing that in heaven. We're going to put it somewhere and leave it, and God will choose where you're going to put it. He said, I don't like that. Your problem may not be with your dress code. It may be with God. You just tell me, is there anything wrong with a woman dressing like she's going to be expected to dress in heaven? I wouldn't think so. If so, maybe you need to talk to God about it. Maybe he'll write a book about the dress code. The word modest means balanced. Don't dress to point out any particular part of your body. You know, that's why if you wear an ankle bracelet, everybody's going to look down at your legs all the time. And I've seen some of your legs. You're better off without the bracelet. We're getting warmed up now. Just stay with me. That's why the slits in your skirts, so men can play peekaboo, draws attention. It's what I call an agitator. You say, well, I don't care. You got to understand, I'm showing you something from a man's perspective. We love the slits. Keep them coming, girls. Just keep them coming. You say, well, my husband doesn't like them. Old henpecked Harry doesn't count. You know, I can tell you how I compare the slit. But I'm just, my point of view, this is my opinion, okay?
This is me, not the Lord.
I compare the slit to a man that's walking around with his pants unzipped. That's what it looks like. It looks like a part of the garment is not fastened. Just remember that. Am I doing okay? I'm really trying to be appropriate. I really worked on some of these. Should have heard them before I polished them up. My wife said, you can't see that. I'm talking slower than usual because I've got to say what's written. It's a shamefacedness. You know, that means that a woman virtually is embarrassed or blushes in the sight of men. You ought to be embarrassed to entice instead of excited to entice. You see, you ought to blush in the sight of the opposite sex. I'm going to tell you something. That's why we got women that wear so much makeup today. They can't blush naturally anymore, so they paint it on, trying to make it look good. Sobriety, what's that mean? It's talking about you being able to control yourself. Not your peers controlling you. Not the whores and the fags in Hollywood controlling you. Not the trends and not the styles. Number five. Would you like for me to have a pure heart? Some of you have a heart attack, don't you?
No, just die, Owen.
Would you like for me to have a pure heart? I guess you're going to have to help me. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read to you. You don't need to turn to it. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 27 and 28, it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I don't think a man ought to look on a woman to lust after her. I think it's wicked, vile, sinful, and it's just wicked as it could be. Women have been made into merchandise in this world, and I feel sorry for you. I'm very, very sorry. But because of that, why don't you help some people not to sleep with you in their brain? Let me ask you a question. Is someone sleeping with you and you didn't even know it? Why don't you decide to keep someone from committing adultery in their heart? You know, it says here, committing adultery with her. With her. You say, I don't think men ought to think that way, and neither do I, but they do, and I'm here speaking as a man trying to tell you how it is with men. You say, I'm tired of being treated like merchandise. Well, just make sure that you don't put things in the display window. In other words, gals, get rid of the mini skirts. Somebody's going to sleep with you. Get rid of the pants. Get rid of the tight-fitting pants. All the pants. Get rid of your shorts. Get rid of some of those form-fitted dresses. Some of you waddle around like a mermaid. And some of you dads, you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is grease your feet so you can get them through the bottom of that dress. Got a little mechanism there. You can jump off the bed and hope you get enough, gravity to pull you through that thing. And I've seen some of you. You add a little extra weight to help the gravity. When you wear hose with designs in them, man suddenly becomes a design engineer. You wear shirts and tops that have words printed across the bus line. Most men immediately think, I wish that was in Braille. Tight sweaters. The sleeveless tops. Let me just say this. The more flesh, the better for the man. Let us see. That's what they say. Come on. Let me see. Your sheer clothing. See-through tops. Men, when you choose not to wear all your garments, that's as wicked as a devil. You know, I think a man that rapes a woman ought to be taken out and shot at sundown. And then shot again the next day and done on national television. I want to tell you something, ladies. You ought to dress in such a way that he's not looking at you and saying, that could be a good target. Looks like she wants it anyway. Say, well, I don't. Then take the sign out of the front yard. Cover up. That's God's body, not your body. It's bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Your tight clothes. Some of you wear your clothes so tight. You know, the imprint from the tag leaves a permanent tattoo on your flesh. You'll know what size you wore for the rest of your life. All the clinging materials, the halter tops, and the tube tops, and the low necklines. So they say, well, I don't wear no low necklines. Yeah, but you don't have any shoulder lines. You keep it up off your chest, but then you'll strip it off all the way around. Like I said, man says, more flesh the better. Bring it on. We want it. He's out. I'm getting tired of being like an animal. Well, quit eating straw then. You know, I inspect my wife's clothes. She wears nothing that I do not approve of. You say, well, what a tyrant. Call it what you will, but she doesn't feel that way. I've heard my wife say, honey, I don't want to wear anything that would ever embarrass you. Ever. You say, well, that doesn't matter to me. It matters to God. Some of you wouldn't think twice about letting your husband approve it to make sure it was modest. He's not going to make that decision. Yeah, and you're probably the short hair. You're probably the loud mouth. You're probably the one that... And by the way, one of the reasons a lot of women want to dress like men and act like men is because maybe they're like these people that think maybe they should have been a man. And then there's those hypocrites in here who wear your dresses down to the floor, you know, like the mud flaps off an 18-wheeler. And you say, yeah, get him, Brother Owen. And you're wicked as a devil in your heart. You know, you're busy looking clean on the outside and reading your Harlequin romances has got you filthy and dressed like a whore on the inside. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of James, one way to find out if somebody can control their body, find out if they can control their mouth. There, you know, some lizard-tongued Jezebel in here. Your tongue is so long, if we tried to put it on the altar, we would have to build a new building for First Baptist Church. But you know, you wear your dresses right. Yeah, you look good while you're dicing everybody to shreds with that saber in your mouth. The Bible says, you show me somebody that can control their mouth, I'll show you somebody that can control their body. So if you're the one that's always bad-mouthing the preacher and talking bad about everybody, you may look good on the outside, but you're a whore on the inside. And you charismatic cuties that dress like Tammy Faye Baker. You wear enough makeup to overhaul a 57 Chevy. Your husband's got an account down at, you know, Handy Andy for caulking. You know, I'll tell you something else. You gotta dress nice when you go to church. Brother Heil said, you used to call it Sunday go to meeting clothes. For you, it's Sunday go to the ball game clothes. Sunday go to the park clothes. No, we're going to hear preaching. You gotta dress nice when you come to church. Put your hose on. That's not your business. You're right, it's not. But I'm just going to, you know, I got the microphone. I got to say something. Don't wear your T-shirts to church. Dress nice. And those things called gauchos. In Owens chapter 3, verse number 1, those are called glorified pants. And then your culottes. Well, listen, ladies. E.F. Hutton's about to speak. You know, most of your culottes are not culottes. They're gauchos, which are pants. You know what I don't like about all that? You won't like this, and here's my opinion. My wife doesn't wear culottes. She never has. She's not going to. I have a personal opinion about it. You say, why do you feel that way? Because the way you set when you've got them on. The way you act when you get them on. I think if a lady chooses to wear a pair of culottes and they look like a dress and they don't look like pants, okay. You shouldn't forget that the minute you put those pants on, you don't grow a beard at the same time. This is not a natural thing. Dress, walk like a lady. Set like a lady if you're going to wear those things. You know, ladies, the minute ladies get those things on, they begin acting like a man, running like a man, walking like a man, sitting like a man, thinking like a man. And I'll tell you something else. You got to be careful the way you dress your little girls. You dress your little girl up to be a little whore. She's supposed to cover her thighs, too. You might want to teach her that before she's 16, she tells you to shove it up your nose. And I've got to throw this in here. There are some things that are sinful and some things that are just exceedingly sinful. Fat ladies don't wear spandex. You know, when you wear those things, your skin's pores on all that cellulose is like playing dot-to-dot game. Somebody can walk up to you, and the thing is, it's like the universe. Pluto, Mars. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 7:10, there's this thing called the attire of a harlot. I'm going to debate on what that is right now, unless you'd like to. But just, if you're not one, don't dress like one. You say, well, I'll dress according to how I feel I ought to dress. Situation ethics, dictionary. A theory that rejects moral absolutes and maintains that decisions must come spontaneously from the demands of the situation's context, or better quoted as, they did that which was right in their own eyes. I'll read a verse to you and then I'll let you go. It might be good for you to have a skit after I'm done. They need to laugh. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37. You let them know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. God said, I'd like to take you and take my wings around you and keep you safe. The story of an old hen. She was in the barn, had six little chicks spread out through the barnyard playing, and suddenly a fire broke out in the barn. That old hen started running everywhere trying to make sure she found her little chicks. It was all over with. Fire was out. The farmer was walking through the barnyard. He seen right in the middle of a barn a stump. It looked like where a tree had in the middle of that barn. It was a stump, just a black charred stump. He went over and he kicked it. And when he kicked it, two wings fell open. It was that mother hen. Burnt to a crisp. Her wings fell open and she fell straight back and six little chicks come running out. And the Lord's not trying to cover you to hurt you. He's trying to keep you safe. That's why he died. Father, I pray that you'd take what's been said and that you'd use it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.